What is up? Welcome to a special edition of the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. It's been your man, MG Marcus Grant, alongside Graham Barfield. Welcome to Indianapolis.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been interesting.
Right?
Indy is definitely an interesting, very cool niche city.
Right, and I've seen most of it from like interior walkways, which is great.
Yeah.
You know, we got here, it was snowing when I walked out of the airport. I was concerned, and then I realized that I don't actually have to go outdoors if I don't need to.
Yeah, I landed and immediately walked out and it started snowing. So I just figured I brought the snow. I mean,
right. So far so good. We are here obviously at Lucas Oil Stadium for the NFL Scouting Combine. Day one was on Friday. As we record this, they are just finishing up down there on the field, and it was offensive linemen and running backs. For our purposes, we were more interested in the running backs, obviously. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll kind of do a brief look ahead to what is coming on Saturday when a whole slew of fantasy relevant positions are working out. But in the meantime, let's do some news. Well, the most fantasy relevant news coming out of the combine on Friday was about Kyler Murray. And I said a couple weeks ago that if you haven't heard his name too much already, you will have heard it too much by the time we get to draft day. So let's talk some more about Kyler Murray, shall we? He does not plan to work out here at the combine. He is here. In fact, as we record this podcast, I'm looking at the monitors here in our booth and I see him at the podium taking questions. Graham, he's just kind of here for interviews. He's not running. He's not throwing. He's not doing any workouts. He's just, you know, chatting it up and maybe having some shrimp cocktail at St. Elmo's.
I kind of get it. I mean, you just come and hang out and meet with these teams. No, I mean, what does he have to prove? What do these quarterbacks have to prove right now coming out? I mean, it's Haskins, it's Murray, it's a 1-2 race, and What are they going to prove that they haven't already?
I think the biggest thing he proved actually was on Thursday, and it had nothing to do with his athleticism. It was when he measured in. I mean, you know, he ends up measuring a little bit above 5'10", which is a little bit taller than I think people anticipated, and his hand size was bigger than 9 inches, which is, again, was bigger than I think people expected. So a lot of the questions about whether or not he has the size to make it in the NFL, I think for the moment at least, those are quieted just because his numbers came out better.
Yeah, I think that's what everybody was waiting on, too, is the hand size. And I know there's quite a few studies that have shown hand size matters. There's been some that's shown it doesn't. But as long as it's not like my hands, really small.
Right?
I have small little hands. As long as it's not me, we're good. I did see a really interesting fact from Joe Goodberry, who covers the Bengals. Mm-hmm. Kyler Murray's wingspan was 28 inches from side to side.
Right.
It's the shortest in combine history.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Zero percentile in terms of his wingspan.
Okay.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means.
I thought it was interesting. I mean, he's just such a peculiar and very interesting case study in today's NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's very much going to be a case study, whether he wants to be or not. I mean, whatever happens to him in the future, he is going to be the benchmark for other quarterbacks who may come in, you know, with a smaller frame. So it's going to be interesting to watch. And right now, as you mentioned, it's either he or Dwayne Haskins to see who's going to be the number one quarterback. Currently, our own Bucky Brooks has Dwayne Haskins just above Kyler Murray. But obviously the rumors about him potentially going to Arizona and being the number one overall pick, those things are certainly out there. The front office folks talking about, well, Josh Rosen is our quarterback for now. That just seems to signal that they are moving on from him, right?
That's just like if you're in a relationship, right, and it's not going well and you're out with some friends, you're like, yeah, I'm still dating her for now.
For now. Right?
I mean, I guess.
Right? I mean, sure. Yeah, try that with your significant other out there, folks. Say that, you know, I'm with so-and-so for now and see how that goes over. It's probably not going to be so great. So Kyler Murray, as we said, not participating at the Combine, but he is talking. I'm sure he will do more interviews if he hasn't already, but we look forward to seeing what happens with that. And that is pretty much everything you need to know.
Well, that was the news.
All right, so the first day of workouts at the Combine, as I mentioned, offensive linemen and running back. I guess I shouldn't overlook what punters and kickers as well.
Hey, I saw some punters running some pretty cool
Some
pretty cool drills. They were doing some crazy stretching with their hamstrings earlier. It was impressive. They did the three cone, too.
They did the three cone? I think there was one of the punter, I think, from Utah ran like a 4.6, which, hey, for a punter, that's not bad.
Hey, that's better than Elijah Holyfield. Hey,
you know what? Let's just jump right into it, right? Because obviously a big part of the combine for the running backs, for everybody, but especially the running backs, is the 40 time. And you and I kind of sat down there kind of close to the field amongst the scouts and watched the 40 happen. And I would say the one takeaway, you mentioned Elijah Holyfield. I mean, he was sort of the negative headliner, I guess, in this thing. But I think the overall takeaway is that the 40 times were a lot slower than I think a lot of people anticipated.
This is a really disappointing running back class, I think, from a lot of different angles. I think from a production standpoint, which I'm sure we'll get to at some point later in these shows, but from a production standpoint, this class is kind of bad, and now from an athleticism standpoint, this class is kind of bad. We only had one running back. His name is Ryquell Armstead, post a weight-adjusted speed score. Weight-adjusted speed is 40-yard dash, and then you add in the weight, and then it basically normalizes over the last 20 years. Ryquell Armstead was the only back that posted a speed
from
score over.
Temple.
Temple. Yeah from only guy over 75th percentile. Elijah Holyfield was in the 4th percentile. Nick Brossette, 4th percentile. I mean, just all these guys disappointed, man.
So Elijah Holyfield officially runs a 4.78, and I would imagine this is the worst thing that has ever happened to anyone in the Holyfield family ever, right? There's nothing else bad that ever happened to a Holyfield beyond this one. But this is a guy who came in with a lot of excitement. There was a lot of hype around him coming out of the University of Georgia. He spent, obviously, the previous year behind Sony Michel and Nick Chubb, and on the field produced, actually. Just athleticism just didn't show today.
I was willing to give Holyfield a bit of a pass. I have not watched him for yards created yet. I was willing to give him a little bit of a pass if he came out and blew up the combine, like I think a lot of people thought he would. Mm. But Marcus, he only caught 7 balls total by Georgia, 7. So he's not a good receiver, and now he's slow. What do we do with that?
I mean,
he's a day 3 pick. Then,
he's day 3 pick at this point, right? He's going to fall quite a bit, and it's going to be interesting to see where he lands. Another guy who did not run well, Miles Gaskin, who had a very good career at the University of Washington, and who I thought would actually run very well. I thought maybe there's some other things where he was deficient, but I figured he would run well. 4.58, a guy who's right around 200 pounds.
That's not good. Yeah.
So I know that you and I talked about this earlier in the day that this is not the greatest running back draft class, but I think a lot of people are just going to be disappointed by the numbers that some of these guys put up.
Speed isn't everything for running backs. Of course, they're not always going to be popping off 15-plus yards running the NFL. That's obvious. But you've got to have a little bit of juice to get in between the hole, like in and out of holes. And, I mean, it's just not that great of a class. I guess, has Josh Jacobs just helped himself now?
Yeah, that's a good question.
By not running, he hurt his groin apparently a couple weeks ago, isn't doing any of the drills here at the combine, but I guess by reverse osmosis, he's helped himself.
He's kind of helped himself here, right? Like, because everybody else has done so poorly, I guess he sort of looks good by comparison. And Josh Jacobs is an interesting case, too, because he has vaulted to the top of the running back class. This is a guy that this time last year, everybody was talking about an Alabama running back. It was Damian Harris. And look, Damian Harris is still going to be, I think, probably one of the top 5 running backs off the board here, but he was considered to be maybe the number 1 running back in this class. He fell back. Josh Jacobs came to the forefront. And I don't really know how it happened.
Right.
But I guess he's probably in a good position right now because everybody else around him seems to have kind of taken a step back this week with their performance. So, I'm curious to see where he goes. We're not going to see Bryce Love, obviously, because he tore his ACL at Stanford late in the season. I know he is here. He is doing interviews. But I know you said you think he's one of the wild cards here, too.
Bryce Love is the wild card of this class. Elite producer over multiple years at Stanford. Great receiving profile. And then tears his ACL. Mm. It's just you never know what to do with those guys. Real quick on Jacobs, though. Do you think he goes first round? Because I have this theory that I don't think we'll see a running back go in the top 50. And I think today's testing, just based on, like I said earlier, with the production, today's testing, we'll see how yards graded goes. But I don't see a back going in the top 50.
I mean, I could see it. I could see him being, you know, one of the last picks on day one, yeah, potentially. I think that's something, like, you're not going to see him, you know, before, you know, the you know, 20, 25, something like that. But I could see him maybe sneaking in at 30, 31, something like that, potentially. If that doesn't happen, then I think you're right. Then I think we do wait until probably, you know, sometime later on the second day to see Josh Jacobs or to see a running back at all go. But it is going to be interesting because, yeah, the way this draft is setting up, one, it's not a very offensive-heavy draft to begin with. This is going to be, I think, very heavy on defensive linemen, on pass rushers. So you already kind of have the deck stacked against the running backs to begin with. And the fact that the class is just not that deep doesn't really help. One guy, yeah, I guess we shouldn't sit here and poo-poo on everybody, because Mike Sanders from Penn State actually had a pretty good day. A 36-inch vertical jump, a 40-yard dash at 4.49, so he was in the top half of that metric for the running backs. And look, he's not Saquon. Let's not get it twisted. But there's something going on at Penn State where they're putting out running backs right now.
Yeah, Miles Sanders. Again, these Penn State guys, and I think it comes down to their athletic trainer. That's a whole other discussion. But they just every single year. Mike Gesicki last year, he was a fantastic athlete. Obviously, yep. Saquon Barkley, Chris Godwin was ridiculous. Allen Robinson was ridiculous coming out. They just continue to mush out these athletes. I think Sanders will end up being, he and David Montgomery will probably be two of my favorite running backs in this class.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm really interested to dig in more to some of these guys, because there were guys that I was interested in watching, you know, like Benny Snell, I think, who...
You mean Benny Snell?
Benny Snell, I know, because he didn't... It's funny, though, because, you know, he was another guy whose 40 time, just on the surface, wasn't great, like a 4.66, I believe it was, but I think when you look at it, you know, in relative to his weight, because he's a bigger, thicker guy as well, I think that kind of will come off a little bit better when we start to get sort of the weight-adjusted scores a little bit for him. But, you know, Benny Snell was one. You mentioned, you know, some of those other guys. Like, you know, we'll see what happens with Bryce Love when he's able to perform, if he's able to go, you know, at a pro day later in spring or not.
I don't know if he will be able to, because he tore his ACL in October. So that
he
would
may
be,
not.
That would be like a seven-month turnaround. That'd be tough.
That'd be really tough. So
he probably would not.
He may not be able to, so that'll you know, we'll see what happens with that. The other one, Justice Hill, who actually had a good 40 time. He ran a 4.4 earlier, and then his second time, I think a 4.49, pulled up lame and is done working out for the rest of the combine. The hope is that he can be okay for Oklahoma State's pro day. I believe that is March 12th. But he was another guy who, like, came out, at least ran well, and, you know, I think, you know, that with the way things went today, that's a big plus, right?
Yeah, we were sitting down there watching him, and that last, like, 5 yards, he pulled up, and, I mean, he immediately screamed and did not look good.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll keep an eye on that. You always hate to see guys get hurt during the combine, but we'll see if Justice Hill can bounce back there. Real quick, because these are going to be short shows, we'll be back with you again on Saturday with another one, but the wide receivers, the quarterbacks, the tight ends, they go in day two. A couple of quick notes that came out on Friday. DK Metcalf, who has become, you know, an internet legend, apparently, because of his photos, his shirtless photos, where he is, like, rocked out in his alleged 1.6% body fat.
That's humanly impossible.
we're throwing a BS flag on that one.
Categorically impossible to have 1.6% body fat.
But DK Metcalf and N'Keal Harry from Arizona State both threw up 27 reps on the bench press.
I will say this: I can't do that.
I cannot do that. Not at 225.
I can do maybe half.
So. You do the down, not quite the up part.
I can maybe do one.
All right, sweet. So those guys, we'll see them. You know, the quarterbacks, we will see. Obviously, we won't see Kyler Murray, as I mentioned. But you and I talked. This is maybe not a wide receiver class with a huge star at the top of it.
Yes.
But there's a lot of depth here.
As much as I, at the surface right now, do not like this running back class, it's the complete opposite for the receivers. I think there's pretty much any flavor of receiver you want in this class. I'm really interested to see what Metcalf does tomorrow, but also I love Hakeem Butler out of Iowa State. I think he could really vault up this class. 6'6", 225, really vault up the class with a great combine. There's just so many different flavors in this class. So there's lid poppers, there's slot guys. It's a really interesting, really good group.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard multiple people say, you included, that whatever you are looking for, whatever your flavor of wide receiver is, you will likely find it
in
this draft class.
Big dudes in this class, including the Greek god himself.
DK Metcalf, right. Yeah, you got him. Yeah, but then you got small guys. You got, Marquise Brown.
Hollywood
Brown.
He was meeting with the Steelers today.
Right. I still love that narrative that they're going to get rid of Antonio Brown and then draft his cousin potentially to come in and replace him. I think that's just a fun narrative. So, Saturday should be a full, fun day. Of course, we'll be back at the end of it to kind of recap what we saw with the quarterbacks, wide receivers, tight ends, I guess for a little bit of shameless promotion to, help the network. Be sure to check it out, of course, on NFL Network as well. The coverage begins at 10 a.m. Eastern. Actually goes all the way through the rest of the weekend, Sunday and Monday. So you can check it on NFL Network and NFL.com as well. So that's it. We'll be back again on Saturday. For Graham, I'm Marcus. We're out. Talk to you then.